This is 1 October, and we are in the midst of studying stress, anxiety, and depression. We're near the end of our study. Two things I'd like to go out for our tapers. First of all, Wes Tuttle, the pianist and longtime member and good friend, his father went home to be with the Lord. Wes is in California right now with his dad, or with his mother, excuse me, with his mother and family. Please be in prayer for Wes. A good friend, Mike Bell, is here from Enfield, Tyler, Houston, wherever it is, it puts his bedroll down. And his father went home to be with the Lord. So we're in prayer for Mike and for Mike's mom and family at this time. It's this deaths of life that our parents get old and we know it, but it still hurts and we sorrow. And different circumstances of different deaths. My mom, of course, you know, was 93 and really wanted to go home. And Wes Tuttle's dad wasn't necessarily that old, but had Alzheimer's, and and so there's a happiness that he's now home with the Lord and clear thinking. And Mike's dad sent him an unexpected death, and he was relatively young, 78, same age as Wes Tuttle's. So I think Wes Tuttle's dad was that, I have to think. But anyway, so our prayers go with both of these families, Wes Tuttle and Mike Bell's family. Please remember them in your prayers. Okay, let's get to work on our study. And want to cover, we're in one of the most important parts of stress, anxiety, and depression. And so that these things can become a reality that we're looking at. As far as your life is concerned, let's go into prayer, committing ourselves to the Holy Spirit to be the teacher and to reveal and make these things real to us. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity of seeing what you have provided for us. I pray, Father, you'll take the things that were studying tonight, make them a real issue in Christians' lives who get these tapes or on the internet, who experience stress and depression and sadness in this area. These things will become a reality to them. The world doesn't have the answers that you have given to us. Oh, the world does have answers, Father, and we know that. But they're not the answers that you give us. So I pray that you can make these things real to us in Christ's name. Amen. What we're doing now is we're looking... Hi, Jim. What we're doing right now is we're looking at who you are in Christ. Because from the very first lesson, one of my deals was you can live as you see yourself in the flesh, or you can live as to who you are in Christ. And now we're ending with who you are in Christ. But I want to say something very important. I want to talk with you a moment if you do suffer, experience stress and depression ongoing. This isn't going to make any difference. This isn't going to make any impact if it's not reality to you. The circumstances may not change. And if you're not content with who you are in Christ, then don't expect that peace, that relief from all the stress and depression, because you're still living in a cosmic system. The standards of Satan's lie, those things are still important to you. We did a series of study called One Another. It's a very important study. There are a lot of things that we should do in regard to one another, and a lot of things we shouldn't do. And we studied them all that are in the text. We ought to serve one another in love. But people, those of you that are experiencing stress and depression, you're realizing they're not. And they're not going to. So we have to ask ourselves, okay, if somebody doesn't do what we expect them to do or what they should do according to Scripture, does that give you the out to remain, excuse to remain in depression? We're supposed to love one another, serve one another, but don't bank on them doing it. We're not to lie. We're not to steal from one another, lie to one another, but Christians are going to do it. We went through all these things that you should do. We took the positives, and then we took the negatives. Do not lie. Do not slander. Do not judge. But Christians are going to do those things. So you have to come to, then what do I do when they don't do what they're supposed to do? Charlie Brown and Linus and Lucy were talking one day. And Charlie Brown was giving the attitude that everybody's purpose on earth was to make other people happy. That was his position. And Lucy, in the way that Charles Shrimps draws her hand goes up into the air and she shouts real big. She says, "Well, somebody's not doing their job with me." So we're looking at what happens when they don't do. And I'm talking about even your husband, your wife, your pastor, your friends. Don't do it. This is where we get into stress, anxiety, and depression. What I'm saying to you here is that if no one else around you changes, are you doomed to stress, anxiety, and depression? One answer may be, well, I'm going to run from everybody. Get away. Well, you can do that. Or you can do what God has in store. But God, He doesn't have to change everyone around you. And they may not change and your circumstances not change. What God is trying to show us here is you can still be free of stress, anxiety, and depression if you're content with things that we're looking at right now. But if you're truly not, no, I'd rather have things. I'd rather be somebody. Yeah, I know those things, but that doesn't deal with my family. That doesn't deal with my health. That doesn't deal with my work. That doesn't deal with my life and how it's wasted. Yes, it does, dear people. And as long as you resist these things and come up with all your excuses on why not, you will not experience what God has given you, the freedom from those things. These are reality in which you can be content, if you will. Let me quickly go through what we've done so we can move into where we are tonight. We started off, and I picked this as number one. I like to say that if I were writing a theological dissertation in Dallas Seminary, something, I wouldn't have had this as number one. But I'm dealing with people who are experiencing stress and depression. You're not condemned. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what's happened to you. You're not condemned. You're not under condemnation before God. Secondly, you're justified. Three, the flesh nature is not made better. He is not going to make your flesh a better person. That flesh nature is crucified and buried. And you are raised a new being in Christ. People, I want you to live who you are in Christ. Four, you are redeemed. Five, you are reconciled by God to God. Not by performance. None of these are by your performance. These are all by God's performance if you just trust Him. You are propitiated before God. Number seven, all your sins are taken care of at the cross, past, present, and future. Number eight, and a beautiful one I wish that a lot of people experience depression would get, you are forgiven in Christ. I know your Christian friends won't forgive you. They will not be reconciled with you. They'll continue to slander and judge. I know that. I experience that all the time. They're not going to. But you're forgiven in Christ. And if you'll be content with that forgiveness, then stress and depression fall by the way. Nine, in Jesus Christ, you are brought near to God. I think that's a very powerful one for us. Number 10, you are an heir, an adopted child of God. Number 11, in Christ, God has a plan for your life. It's a plan for your life to the end. It's a wonderful plan. Number 12, you are a gift from God to His beloved Son. Number 13, you are acceptable to God. And boy, that's important to you. We did that last week. You are acceptable. You don't feel acceptable. Your life doesn't look like you'd be acceptable to anybody. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Get your eyes off of the cosmic world. Get them on what God says. You can believe what God says, or you can believe what Satan says. You can believe what God says, you can believe what the world says. You can believe what God says, or you can believe what your Christian friend says, like Joe's three friends. It's up to you. Number 14, adopted. Adult son. We talked about the family last week. That brings us to number 15. It's a short one, but let me give it to you. Number 15. In Jesus Christ, you are a member of the kingdom of God. Now, let's talk about that. This is so important. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's you know, that's pie in the sky stuff.
Is that 14 or 15?
Number 15. Number 14, you're adopted sons. Number 15, you are a member of the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to ask you just straight out. Do you know that and believe that? Do you really believe it? Because here's the difference. You're not a member of this cosmic world. You're not a member of this society you live in. You're not a member of what's happening in the cosmos. You are a member of the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom you live in. Give you a little example. It's not a comforting one. It's just one to give you the idea of what I'm trying to say of where you live. When I was in the military, I was stationed in Germany. So I am in Germany. I'm in a foreign country. I do not speak their language. But I'm assigned there by the military. But I'm in the kingdom, if you wish. I'm in the United States. I'm a member, I'm a citizen of the United States of America, living in Germany. People, what happens in Germany when I was there is not the basis of any happiness, any self-esteem, any self-pleasure, anything. It just doesn't matter. I slept on a little bed, hardly big enough for me. I've often wondered how big guys slept on those little cots that we slept in all throughout my whole tour. And I did not have a designer blankets. I had an Army-issued, beautiful Army-issued green. In fact, everything the Army issued was green, except the boots. I didn't have leather shoes. I didn't have alligator boots or shoes. I had leather-issued boots. I did not have a nice wardrobe identifiable of me. I had one the Army gave me. Didn't matter, because I wasn't of Germany. And that I didn't have a house out there, and that I didn't drive a car, and that I didn't get into social life, I didn't get into politics, I was there, but everything going on just had no real bearing on whether or not I was, and I'm using the word happy, meaning day in and day out, not spiritually. It didn't have anything to do with whether or not I was happy. Now, the Army had a lot to do with whether or not I was happy, but being in Germany, and what happened in that country and in that city had no effect on me. People, why do so many Christians experience stress and depression? Because we're using the standards of America, of the country we live in. We're using the standards of the family. We're using the standards of money. We're using the standards of dress and of looks and of accomplishments and success and dreams and what other people have and all of this stuff. And, boy, we just get so depressed when things don't work out. This isn't your kingdom, people. If that can be a reality to you, it's up to you. All I can do is tell you about it. God's given it to you. God's made you a member of the kingdom of God. It's up to you if that's enough. Well, it's just, and I'm serious, a lot of Christians, if they're honest, well, it's just not enough. I want to be happy here. I want to have accomplishments, and I want to look a certain way, and I want to have a family, and I want this, and I want more friends, or I want a friend. I want this. I want that. This just isn't enough. Then I'm going to tell you something. I can't help you, and neither can God. I have nothing to offer you if this isn't enough. If who you are as a citizen of the kingdom of God not by your performance, not by something you did that made you worthy, but because you are in Jesus Christ. Look with me at Colossians 1. Please take time, if you're listening on tape, internet, open your Bibles. Let the Holy Spirit make these things become real to you in the text. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians 1, verse 13. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness. Domain, we could translate that kingdom. Kingdom or the domain of darkness. And transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. People, this isn't just when you die. Don't look at this as something that you're going to get later. You are transferred now. Your citizenship is in a heavenly kingdom, not here. Just as when I was in Germany, my citizenship was not in Germany. It was not in Germany. I did not get all depressed and upset about things that happened or didn't happen in Germany or in my life in Frankfurt. I was on the assistant division commander staff. And it just, whatever happened in Frankfurt, what happened in Germany, it wasn't even my concern. I didn't belong there. I was a citizen of the United States of America. That was my citizenship. That's where my identity was, in that sense. People, your citizenship is not in this world, not in America, not in this cosmic system. So please quit letting it depress you. Please quit letting your accomplishments or no accomplishments or enemies or what others do to you cause you stress and depression and sadness. For he delivered us from the dark domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Look at verse 14, just a little push here. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. There it is again. I hope that, boy, you're just stressed out tonight and depressed. You need the money, marriage, life. This isn't working out. You don't belong here, people. This isn't your citizenship. It's in heaven. Okay, that takes us to the 16th. As a member of the heavenly kingdom, another one that you need to think about when you're experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression due to living in Satan's lie in this cosmic system, in regard to your heavenly kingdom, you are a royal priest. Now don't shun that off. You are a royal priest, and don't let anyone take this away from you. Okay, you were abused when you were a child. You're abused now. You've sinned. And your sin hurt you. Your sin may hurt a lot of people. You don't feel good. Your friends are against you. You failed in life. Maybe not even because of sin. It's just you've tried this and tried that and nothing's worked out. Things just keep getting worse and worse. I want you to stand back and understand that in Christ, you're a priest. Now, the best thing I can do here is go back to our very beginning studies. When we started this study, near the beginning of it, and we talked about the girl, usually it's a girl, has anorexia, and she stands in front of the mirror, and she weighs just, 90 pounds wet, and she's just skinny and is near death and sickness. She looks in the mirror and she sees a fat person. And that's reality to her. So you can look in the mirror and say, okay, I'm this loser and things aren't going right and nobody's doing this and nobody loves, nobody serves, nobody helps, nobody cares, on and on and on. Or you can look in that same mirror and see yourself as a priest of God. You're a royal priest. So get up, brush yourself off, claim what is yours by faith. You don't have to go to a preacher. You're a priest. It's all right to ask other people to pray for you, but you don't even need them. Let's say you don't have anybody to pray for. Hey, pray for me. Nobody even cares. One of Hank Williams' songs, he says, when I die, I'm going to have to pay somebody to come and cry. There won't be nobody there to cry unless I pay them. People, you're a priest in Jesus Christ. Claim what is yours and live it. If you're in a sin pattern, break out of it now by living a faith pattern rather than a sin pattern. Okay? 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter. As you turn to it, I just want to reiterate, these things are not going to do anybody any good who's suffering from stress and depression and whatever if they're not a reality to you. These are the things that are real. People, you can go get the cosmic answers to your depression everywhere from exercise to yoga to all the self-help books and all the motivational speakers and all this kind of stuff going on, or you can claim what God has given you. And you claim it by faith. Okay, you should have found 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you, that's you, that's you. Put your name there. You can put your name. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You're God's possession. That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Well, there's so much here for you if you're hurting tonight. Now, first thing I want you to note is this. What we just read is not by your performance. You're not this verse by anything you did. You cannot make this happen, and you cannot lose. By the way, this is very important. You cannot lose this by your performance. You cannot lose it. Silly example just came to my head. Even in America, we take a criminal, he goes to prison, gets out of prison. Okay, he can't vote, but he's still an American citizen. We have no law that takes that away from you. People, if we don't do that in America, how much less God? God's not going to take this away. This is yours. You're a royal priesthood forever. You cannot lose this by anything you do. You did not gain it by anything you did. You cannot lose it by anything you do. Now, I know you may be sitting there, well, is it befitting for a royal priest to continually sin? No. Is it befitting for things that have happened to you to happen to a royal priest? To be molested as a child, to be treated this way by your husband, by your wife, by your parents, by friends, by whatever, by being shunned, being all of these things? Is that what is worthy of a royal priest? People, they crucified our Savior. You're using again, when you do that, you're going back to cosmic standards to try to understand something spiritual. Can't do that. Can a royal priest sin in a horrible way? Yes, and he doesn't stop being a royal priest. And those of you that are not suffering stress, anxiety, and depression and still listening to this series, this is how you help those that have and that are a heavy burden and their friends try to take everything away from them. They're a priest. They're a royal priest. First of all, can a royal priest sin in a horrible way? Yes, but he does not lose his priesthood. Question, can horrible things happen to a royal priest? Yes, but he does not lose being a priest. Don't let anyone take it away from you. Get up. Claim what is yours in Christ. Claim your priesthood. Walk in the power of the Spirit. Look at 1 Peter 2:5. We just read 2:9. Since you're right there, look at 2:5. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at both of these things. Verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession. Well, look what it says, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who have called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Okay, you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't have anything to tell people about His marvelous excellencies. My marriage isn't any good. Or my marriage is in divorce. Is divorced. My children don't care anymore. Christian friends don't like me. Work isn't going well. I have to hunt for every little dollar. And I see other people doing all right. On and on and on. Whatever your circumstances are tonight. And then you come to the conclusion, I have nothing to proclaim of the excellencies of Him. And you know why that you're thinking? Because you're not listening. We've covered 15 excellencies that are already that are yours. But you're not telling anybody because you're not happy in them. You're not content. You have to write them. Summarize each one. Put it in the list. Put it on your refrigerator door, but I want it in your soul. Are you content? Are you content with being a royal priesthood, or do you want to be the boss at work? Or do you want to have a nice job? Or do you want to have this or that? Or are you content being a royal priest? Are you really content? I can't answer that for you people. I can answer it for Herman Maddox. I can answer when things are taken away, am I content with who I am in Christ? I can't answer it for you. You have to do that. So this is very important. If you stay stressed and depressed, you have nothing to proclaim the excellencies of God to others. But if you'll claim what is yours, though circumstances have not changed at all, you can proclaim the excellencies that He's given to you. And we're studying them right now. That's what we're dealing with in this passage. Look at one more, Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. You can find that. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. Revelation 1, verse 6. And He has made us to be a kingdom. There's that kingdom again. Priest. See how they go together? In a kingdom and you're a priest. To His God and Father. To Him be the glory. See, this is to Jesus Christ. And who's Jesus Christ? Father God. To His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. But I just want you to see, this is who and what you are. Now, are you going to believe what Satan says or what God says? Are you going to believe what your friends say or what God says? It's up to you. If you desire to end stress, anxiety, and depression, sad, know these things, believe these things, and live who you are in Christ. You look in that mirror and you see, okay, I am really, this woman's really thin. She sees this heavy lady. I want you to look into the mirror and I don't want you to see how you feel about yourself. I feel about myself that I am this overweight, horrible person. That's what this girl does as anorexia. She looks in the mirror and she's, in her mind, I am overweight. You look in that same mirror and you say, in my mind, I'm a loser. In my mind, nobody cares. In my mind, I'm disgusting. In my mind, and that's what you're going to see in that mirror. Do you know what God sees in that mirror? A royal priest. From the kingdom of God. Claim what's yours. 17. Very close to 16. In Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. You are part of a chosen generation. And I love this. You're going to love it too. If you're hurting tonight from stress and depression, you'll love this then, because this describes us, doesn't it? A peculiar people. And boy, that's me. I'm pretty peculiar. My friends tell me that. Now you can say, that's right. I am peculiar. And they may not mean it the way that God means it, but hopefully we can understand what God is saying. You're not, this isn't peculiar in a weird way. Peculiar. as is set apart from others. 1 Peter. Hope you're still there. Well, no, we went to Revelation. So now we got to go back to 1 Peter. It's not that far. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, holy nation, a people for God's own possession. My friend, that's what you are. You're chosen. You're a royal priest. A member of a holy nation. A people for God's own possession. Now, look at Titus. Keep going back toward the front of your Bible and you'll come to Titus, Paul's writings. He wrote to young Titus. Titus was a young pastor and he talked with Paul and so Paul wrote him. Wonderful letter. Let's look at it. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. It's a small book, but an important book. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. You know, preachers, well, I say, I don't know about other preachers, I say it's an important book. Oh, there's one in here that isn't. They're all important books, but... meaning that the message of Titus is very important. Okay, Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us, that's Jesus Christ, that he might redeem us, and we've already seen you are redeemed, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, purify for himself a people of his own possession, zealous for good works. Now, what is zealous for good works? Because right now you may say, well, I'm not zealous for good works. Not zealous for sin, but I'm not zealous for good works either. I'm just miserable. I'm sad. I'm depressed. Don't want to do anything. Okay. What does this mean, zealous for good works? When you walk in the Holy Spirit, that's good works. So, right now at this moment, you probably don't feel this. That is, not by your experience. I want to tell you something, friend. God knows that. But here's the good news that God wants me to get to you. This is what you really are in Christ. And if you start this very hour, I don't know when you're listening to it. Maybe if you really heard it, it's 2 in the morning. 2 or 3 in the morning. But whenever you're listening to it, this very hour, you can start in this hour to forget the past. Ignore the present and walk in the Holy Spirit. People, you can't change the past, I'm sorry. And you probably can't change the present. But you know what you can do? You can ignore it. You can ignore the present circumstances. And walk in the power of the Spirit and be content. You will slowly start experiencing who and what you really are in Christ. You'll start experiencing the things we're studying. Now, very important, people. I'm not talking about experiencing reality that the world sees. If that's what you're waiting for. You'll probably continue to be a victim to SAD. I'm not talking about that. That you are a peculiar possession of God is lived by faith. It is seen by faith. It is seen by faith. We're studying on Sunday morning the Gospel of John, the Crisis of Faith, a series that we did, but we're just taking an overview of it. And what is a Christ's faith? Most people live by conditional faith. Conditional faith versus unconditional faith. Is your faith conditional? Well, I'll trust you, God, if you change my circumstances. if you'll do this, if you'll do that, if you'll straighten out my marriage, if you will let me get married, boy, watch what you pray for. If you will help me in my finances, help me in my work, help me in my accomplishments, or God, it's just too late. Whatever's going on in your soul, all these kinds of things that you're experiencing, then you're going to stay a victim to stress, anxiety, and depression. But if you'll just say, you know, God, I trust you. You don't have to change a thing. And only you know if you mean it. I trust you, and I'm going to keep walking by faith. For this study, there are two types of people that work out in a gym. I try to go in often. There are two types of people that can work out in a gym. And it's very discouraging to the second category. One category of people work out in a gym, and the genetic makeup of their body starts developing. They start developing muscle. They start developing cuts, what we call cuts. They bulk a little bit, and they start looking really good. You know, there are some people with genetic makeup, and it's generally thin people, more on the thin side. They could work out 5 hours, 7 days a week for the rest of their life, and they won't get a ripple. They won't get a cut. They won't get anything. And that's a little aggravating. And you watch them. There are guys in the gym have virtually no cut, no bulk muscle. They can outlift a lot of guys that are just big and have a great developed body. And then there's this thin guy in there, no cuts, no anything, and he is just pumping iron all over the place. But if you saw the two of them, you'd think, boy, that guy could never stand in the gym next to this other guy. So the guy's, boy, look how strong and all this. So if the guy that's just genetically is not going to develop, says, well, that's why I came in and it isn't happening, so I'm walking out. Well, he's going to lose health, the strength of the skeleton system and the muscles and the nervous system and all the rest of it. People, you may not see one change in your life as far as circumstances. Not one. Your husband or wife are not going to treat you better. Christians aren't going to stop doing what they did, and they're not going to start doing what they ought to be doing. You may not see any changes at all. Are you content with who you are in Christ? Or is it conditional? If your faith's conditional, then you're headed for stress, anxiety, depression. If your faith is unconditional, God will set you free. God will set you free. See, there we live in America, especially today. We live in what I call a microwave generation. I mean, it's got to be done fast. Everything's got to be fast. And we think life's that way. We can cook it fast. We want a sitcom. We want a 30-minute sitcom that can start off normal, have a disaster, be resolved, and everybody's happy in 30 minutes. And that's the way life ought to be. That's the way life ought to be. We go in and, well, I'm taking this medicine to stop this pain. I'm taking this whatever it may be to cause this to happen or this to not happen. And if it doesn't, then we stop doing it because we want results. And people, I'm telling you, in the spiritual life, if you're looking for the experience of overt type of things, you're headed for stress, anxiety, and depression. I'm going to put it to you very strongly. Can you be content and have inner happiness if you're Lazarus begging at the rich man's door? Or would that make you angry at God? That here you are, a Christian, who believe, walking by faith in the Spirit, and here you are begging for food. This just isn't right, God. And I'm angry at you. So, you have to decide. Does God have to change everything around you? Another funny way I like to put this, funny with a little seriousness to it. Does God have to change the way everybody else drives before you're content driving to you from work and back on the freeways without getting all bent out of shape? Does He just have to change it? Everybody drives so you can get there, or can God take care of you and not change one driver, in fact, make them worse, and you handle it? Conditional faith, unconditional faith. God desires to take you to unconditional faith, which means you are not walking by sight. You'd be surprised how many Christians who think they're really great walk by sight. They're not great. They're walking by sight. They're walking by sight. They have to see it. There are a lot of people who think that they're doing fine in the Christian life. It's because they avoid everything. It's like the old joke. Guy goes into the doctor and he says, "Doc, every time I do this," and he raises his elbow up to his shoulder level, and says, "Every time I do this, it hurts." And the doctor says, "Well, then stop doing it." So you stop doing it. It doesn't hurt. So that means I'm okay. No, it doesn't mean you're okay. But that's the way a lot of Christians live. As long as I don't interact with people, as long as I don't do this or that, then everything's okay. As long as I avoid everything, then everything's okay. Doesn't mean that at all. You're probably in the worst spiritual condition you could ever be in. So you have to decide, am I going to walk by sight? Or am I going to walk by faith? And those of you that experience stress, anxiety, and depression, I am sorry for you, and yet I'm happy for you. Because you of all people have got to decide, am I going to walk by sight or by faith? Am I going to be get rid of the stress, let God get rid of the stress, anxiety, and depression by being content in who and what I am in Christ without changing anything, or do I have to see things? So you get to choose, you get to see really where you are. Is it conditional faith or unconditional faith? Where you are with God. And God desires to take you to unconditional faith. You know it, believe it, and live it. And people, start today. You can start right now. You're going to walk by faith. You're going to seek to please Him in everything and just not be concerned with the opinion of others. Why? Because you're no longer under Satan's lie of performance and others' opinion. So you're not concerned with performance, others' opinion. I'm going to live my life. Starting right now, 2 in the morning, 10 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, whenever. And I'm just going to start walking by faith and trust Him. And I'm going to be content. Now, let me tell you what. You're going to get hit with a baseball bat because Satan doesn't want you to do that. But you just make up your mind. You're going to stop seeking to please people. And you're going to please Him by just walking by faith. You'll start watching the Holy Spirit. As He starts working on you, start changing the inside of your soul, a peace starts taking the place of the stress and depression. Instead of being depressed, there's a little happiness there, contentment in your soul. These are fruits of the Holy Spirit. You start desiring things like the love of studying Scripture, learning about God, about what God is doing, talking with others and the kindness of God. The forgiveness of God. Because you've experienced it. So I'm telling you and asking you right now, wherever you're doing, to start doing it right now. We're in the close end of this study. And start right now living who you are in Christ. Start right now. Don't expect it to happen overnight. Even though the happiness can come very quickly. Once you make I'm going to walk by faith. And then as you continue to walk by faith, you're going to start seeing a lot of things change in your own soul. But then you're going to have setbacks and all these kinds of things. A silly example. You're 100 pounds overweight. People, it's not going to come off in a day. You've been carrying the stress and depression for a long time. It's not going to come off. It's not going to come off in a day or a week or a month. But you have to start today. And start putting away the foods that will only contribute to your overweightness. And you start with the most simplicity of exercises. And you just start and you're content with what's going on. Now that's a physical example of the spiritual reality that I want you to experience, those of you that experience stress, anxiety, and depression. Just start trusting Him. Your circumstances will probably not change. That will be conditional faith. Know who you are in Christ. Be content with who you are in Christ. Believe who and what you are in Christ and live it. How? Simply by walking by faith. Remember some time ago we studied AM and FM? The endemic mindset and the faith mindset. And you got your radio in your car. It's either on FM or AM. One or the other. You get your mind. You get it on AM, which is Adamic mindset, which is who and what you are in Adam, in the flesh. Or you can get it on FM, faith mindset. Keep your mindset on Him. Point 18. This one's very important. This one's very important to many of you who live, whose lives are lived under a power of darkness. Something you probably told your friends and they don't believe you and they don't understand you. They think you're a little crazy and weird. Well, I'm here to tell you that according to God, well, I understand, God doesn't think you're weird at all. God doesn't think you're crazy. God knows. God understands. And most important, God has done something about it. He just sends a heaviness of darkness. And it's hard to tell somebody because they'll think you're crazy and they'll think you're weird. And I know that. Maybe you've told a few people and they just look at you like, oh man, you really are getting weird now. Man, you really are. Your stress and depression is taking you out into left field. Well, you just stay with what God says. You stay here with me a minute and let's see what God says. Here's your principle. In Jesus Christ, you are delivered from the powers of darkness. Wow. This doesn't apply to a lot of people. I know that. But I'm going to tell you something. Those of you that listen to this, that this does apply to, that you have sensed the power of darkness and are sensing the power of darkness, this is unbelievable stuff here. Most of you won't even understand what we're talking about, but a few of you will, because you're here. Now I want to show this to you in the Bible. This is so important, living our lives as Christians. Many Christians, now listen, many Christians who experience adverse stress and depression sense an impending presence of the power of darkness. Using such terms as controlling them and just hurting them, causing them misery. Let me tell you something. These powers of darkness are real. There is something most do not understand, and that's the power of the influence of darkness in a Christian's life, in a Christian's marriage, in a Christian's church. Well, God has set you free if you claim it and live it. Please look with me at Colossians chapter 1. You have a Christian friend, talks about some unexplainable power of darkness, heaviness. Well, don't just shun them off. Go to the Bible. Let's see what the Bible has to say. Colossians chapter 1, a powerfully important verse near the beginning of this book. Verse 13. Chapter 1, verse 13. For He, God, delivered us from the domain of darkness. That's the power. The power of darkness. And transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Now I want you to think for a few moments about this verse. Let's go through it. He. This is a reference to God the Father. How do I know that's a reference to God the Father and not Jesus Christ? Well, look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share the inheritance of the saints in light. For He. Okay, so we settle that. He. This is referring to God the Father. Then it says in our passage, so we know that's God the Father, for He delivered us from the domain of darkness. Now, I do want to say one thing about verse 12. Let me just talk to you a moment, kind of relax us a little bit. See that first phrase in the opening words in verse 12? Giving thanks. There are so many dimensions of ending stress, anxiety, depression in your life, and that's where we are. We're talking about ending it. There are so many dimensions of ending this in your life, and one of them is giving thanks. Oh, I know you don't think you have any reason to thank God. I know you think there's no reason I have for thanking God. What do I want to thank God for? I'm miserable. Nobody loves me. I don't love anyone. I'm not loved. Or how does it go that we studied in spiritual love? To love and to be loved. My life's miserable. Things happened to me when I was a little girl, when I was a little boy, and it's been happening all through my life. I've been abused, used. My life's no good. What do you want me to give thanks to God for? My life's miserable. Okay? Let's start with simple things. Let me, before I do that, I know how you feel. How do I know that? Job in chapter 3. We should have studied Job more in the study of stress, anxiety, and depression, but I've got to close it out, and we're going to study the book of Job next in this on Wednesday night. After we finish this study, we're going into the book of Job. So we'll get it then. But Job talks about how a lot of you feel. Why was I even born? See, I could say here, give thanks that God gave you life. Huh, are you kidding? I just said, well, God not giving me life. If this is what it's about, because that's the way Job felt. I wish that the day that I was born, that the darkness of the night had stopped me from being born, that he had closed my mother's womb, that I'd been born dead, all these kinds of things. And I know that's how a lot of you feel. So I'm not starting with that one. You're here, like it or not. So what do I have to give thanks for? Here's your number one thing. If you have nothing else, that God loved you so much that he sent his son to give you eternal life. Now, you think you're miserable here? You want to spend eternity in hell in a lake of fire burning? That'll really give you a headache. That'll really give you stress and depression for all eternity. So let's just start and say, thank you that I won't be this way for all eternity. If that's all you've got to thank God for, put it down. And thank God that you will not live this way for all eternity. That he loved you so much that he sent his son and gave you eternal life. Let's see if we can add another one, even though you're hurting. He equipped you. He gave you the Holy Spirit. And then, when you're under real stress and depression, just sit down. Take your Bible. Go through the list, including now up to 18, and open up the Bible. And as you go through each one of these, just say thank you. And I did a series some time ago on marriage, and let me tell you something. You will value that which you give thanks for. If you never give thanks for your husband, if you never give thanks for your wife, if you never give thanks for your children, if you never give thanks for your local church, it won't mean that much to you. And you won't take that stand to protect it. But I want to tell you something. If every day you thank God for your husband, and you thank God every day for your wife, you thank God every day for your church, you thank God every day for something, it becomes very important to you. You value it. Thank God for this. Changes your whole attitude towards it. So, as you give thanks to God for these things, you want these things, we're going through them quickly, and I'm sorry, rather academically, even though I'm trying to make it personal by my tone, by the speed that we're doing this, I'm trying to make this personal to you, I'm trying to make it applicable to you, but it's still academic, it's still point 1, point 2, point 3, point 18. But you sit down and you give thanks to God for them when you really hurt. You call me and let me know after you get through and you give thanks and you sit down and you go into the Spirit and you start thanking God just for these things, and you call and tell me when you're through. I don't care if it is 3 in the morning. Say, you know, I did that and I'm still miserable as I was when I started. I want to talk with you. Because something starts happening when you start thanking God for these things. Something starts happening. You know, things aren't as bad as I might have thought they were. So you start giving thanks. Now, and as in this verse, giving thanks to the Father who qualified us. People, you do not perform anything to be worthy to pray. Well, I don't feel worthy to thank God. I don't feel worthy to pray. People, God made you worthy. You don't make yourself worthy, or you don't make yourself unworthy. So look what it says. Thanks to God who qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. Wow. Do you not want that? Put it that way. No, I think we all do. So let's thank Him for it. Look at that. Saints in light. And how do you live that status? I don't feel like a saint in light. I feel like a saint in darkness. That's what we're dealing with, being delivered from the domain and the power of darkness. How you live in that light? Let me just tell you right now, you live it in the Holy Spirit. And how do you come under the power of the Holy Spirit? Walk by faith in the Spirit, trusting Him to empower you, trusting Him to put that light in you. You won't see the light with your eyes, physical eyes. It's in your soul. It's a light that He gives. For He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Okay, the Greek word for domain of darkness. The NIV, the New International Version, says dominion of darkness. The King James says the power of darkness. The Greek noun, kat exousio, authority, right, power. These kinds of words come under the Greek word. We've studied this. Satan has a vast network. Satan has a vast network. I'm going to just tell you, people, and I'm just talking to a few that are listening. I feel sorry for you. I know you feel this domain of darkness. You feel trapped in your own home, which is to me the most horrible thing in the world, to be miserable within your own home. And I'm surprised the number of husbands who make their wives miserable in a home. I'm shocked at the number of parents who in the home cause such havoc and pressure and pain on their children, and a heaviness in their home, or and even a wife can do that to her husband. In the one little place on the whole of planet Earth, one little geographical place where we ought, when we walk in those doors, all that pain ought to be let loose, not be there. And parents and husbands and wives make that one little geographical spot, just a little bitty spot. It just may be, you know, I don't know, it's 1,000 square feet or something, and whatever it is. It's the one place you ought to be able to go. It's kind of like your corner in a boxing match. You have your corner, and you go over to your corner, and they start beating on you. I go over to some other corner. You're supposed to go over there, and they put water on you and take your mouthpiece out and clean it and pull your trunk so you can breathe and tell you you're doing great even though you're getting clobbered and encourage you and all of that. You go over to your corner. You're such a lousy bum. And they start punching you and all this stuff. That's a shame. I love the home I grew up in. It just didn't matter. In the final sense, that mattered in the sense of caring, but failed a grade, failed in school, failed in some moral issue, failed, let people down, hurt, things aren't working out. We could go home, and in that home, the dinner, the clean sheets, and the love was always there. And just to make the point, it didn't matter if you succeeded in everything. Made touchdowns, and I remember in high school, I was president of my class, and did all of this stuff all over, and now this thing. It didn't impress my mother one bit. You know, take out the garbage. Mom, I'm president of the class. Well, Mr. President, take out the garbage. It didn't matter. Because in this home, you're accepted. Because you remember this home. People, that's what I want you to understand in reference to God. This is your status, who qualified you to share the inheritance of the saints of light. He delivered you from the domain of darkness, that heaviness, power of darkness. And many Christians have this power of darkness all around them. The cosmic network we live in is designed, listen to me as we close out, it is designed to disrupt, if not destroy, your marriage, your family, your church life, your spiritual life, every part of your life. Satan's network is designed to do that. So many Christians allow this to happen to their marriage and their church and their spiritual lives, and many thinking they're right while they let it happen. It's God's will I get a divorce from this horrible thing. It's God's will that I dump. I was reading today the sports page and how many coaches, and we're just in the 1st of October, how many coaches in both college and some in pros that are fearful, already losing their jobs. We live in a society we just want to dump, get rid of, chunk it, move on. That's Satan's network. And we do it in our marriages. We do it in our life. Satan uses the law. Satan uses the Bible. False teachers. Uses Christians. This is all part of the domain of darkness. And if you don't have eyes to see why you're stressed and depressed and just so pressed about your life, it's the powers of darkness, and you're right. You're living in this cosmic system that won't let go and won't let up. Won't let up. Well, God has set you free from this power, and He set you free without any performance on your part. Note something very important. God delivered you. Look at the verse. God delivered you. You did not perform. You did not do anything. You did not escape yourself. He does this on the basis of grace and mercy and love. And you receive it simply by trusting Him. I'm not through with being delivered from the powers of darkness. I want to come back to this point, but we're past time. And it's a good thing, because this is one that is so worthy, because it causes a lot of Christians stress and depression, this sense of impending darkness, the domain of darkness, and the helplessness of darkness. So I'm kind of glad we're going to get two times to look at it, because a lot of Christians feel it, sense it, and live it. And God has set you free. I want you to claim what's yours. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father. A God who loves, a God who cares, and a God who does something about it. Now it's just up to us to receive by faith and to live by faith what you give by your love. Not that we see it with the eyes you love, Father. These people hurting tonight are listening, hurting. They may not see it. It has to be seen by faith. It has to be realized by faith. It has to be lived by faith. I'm sorry that they suffered tonight, Father, those that are listening. But in another way, I'm very happy, because there are people who are making it okay, and they just don't even know they're not even close to you. There are a lot of people doing quite well in life. A lot of Christians. They have no idea what's going on inside of them spiritually. They're like the healthy man who has a heart problem and doesn't even know it. So I'm glad in a way that they are hurting, because that lets them know they got to run to you. And they got to find their whole identity in you. The relief of stress in their soul. You. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.